97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hello and welcome into the podcast exclusive of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. We appreciate you downloading this podcast. I want to remind you that we put out two podcasts every week. So if you've already got this one and you haven't downloaded this week's show podcast, please do so. Had a great conversation with Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory. We talked about some of Joe Biden's Second Amendment plans, his gun law initiatives that he is working on, and talked about the practicality of them and how they will affect your Second Amendment rights. We also talked to the sheriff of Jefferson County, Dave Marshak, about restrictions in the area, law enforcement's role when it comes to COVID and school safety and a bunch of topics as well. Well, great show. So make sure you check that out if you can. And unfortunately, we didn't have too much time to talk to Mike Marfell about fishing, but that's what the podcast exclusive is here for. So I'm Tony Colombo with Chad Ellis and my partner, Bo Matthews, and professional fisherman Mike Marfell joins us as well. Bo, how's it going?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Excited to hear what Mike's got to say about ice fishing, because we don't get a lot of ice fishing chances down here. But, you know, you always ask the question, you know, when is fishing season over? It's really never over, like motorcycle season. You get a 70 degree day in January. Guess what? You're going fishing or motorcycling.
Mike? Yeah.
Just absolutely put on a coat and you're good to go. Right, Bo? I mean,
exactly.
As long as it's not rain. I'll tell you what, I love fishing in the winter, but I hate fishing in the when it rains this time. Like, give me 4 degrees and snow, I'll fish. Give me, if it's 37 or 45 and raining, it's just miserable.
So the cold rain is where you draw the line.
Yeah, I mean, if I got a tournament, I got to go. I mean, you just got to go. But I mean, yeah, I don't fun fish when it's 42 degrees and rain.
So let's start right there, because, you know, I always steal your line, Mike, that, you know, it's fishing season's not over till the water's hard. Till it's frozen and you can't.
And then you got to get a beer and an auger, and I wouldn't do that around here because it never gets thick enough.
Right. Have you ever done that? Have you ever ice fished?
I have. It's boring as all get up. But you can get a lot of drinking done. I've never done it proper, like go up to Wisconsin where you can drive your truck out on the ice and, you know, and have a heater inside your little hut and all that. I've never done it that way. Well, I was just miserably cold and not catching anything.
All right, but I can't remember. I know you're from Minnesota. I know we've talked about ice fishing on before, but I can't remember if you said you ever did it or not.
I have. But I did it in the primitive way, like he's talking about, where if you have a little hut around you, maybe. But now, you can, if you go far enough into Minnesota, like the Boundary Waters Canoe Area, that kind of area, or Mille Lac Lake, that's the Angry Lake they call it. It's like, yep. I mean, you can't see across it. It's so big. They have like Airbnbs now where you can rent like a cottage that they put out there because the ice is so thick and they've got all the comforts of home. They got plumbing, they got a camper
igloo?
Toilet, all that stuff. No. I've never seen
guys
that.
Have little TVs in there. They're watching football and fishing.
Of course.
That's crazy.
Yurts. And they got yurts
guys
out
use
there.
Their fish finders up there too, Bo, right? You'll see guys on snow sleds that'll just go around. They'll drop their fish finder on through the ice and look. And if they're not there, they pull it up and go to the next hole.
No
they
kidding.
Keep looking
for them.
Do you fish
absolutely.
For the...
Yeah.
I mean, do you fish for bass that way? I mean, is it like the
walleye.
Same? I think you fish for whatever walleye, whatever will bite, I think.
Well, sure. I didn't know if only certain types of fish would bite in those extreme situations. But
walleye, northerns are big. You rarely get like a bullhead, they call it. It's a lot like a catfish, or maybe I don't know. Mike, there's a question: is a catfish and a bullhead the same thing?
I always thought they were, but
it's a species of catfish, from what I understand.
That's what I always thought.
Like a channel catfish or a bull cat. Yeah.
Good enough. Hey. Facts, right? Whatever.
I fish for bass because they pay money when you catch enough of those.
So I'm glad you brought up the rain.
The walleye sandwich does sound delicious after a day of drinking beer in your ice hut, for sure.
I'm glad you brought up the rain, Mike, because, you know, a lot of people think that if it's not a perfect day, it's not a good day to fish. But there are...
Totally opposite.
Yeah, I was going to say, there are many people that will tell you the worse the weather... the better the fishing. So if I know it's not fun, and you said like, I fish enough. I don't need to go out when it's raining and 30 degrees outside. But is that is that still a good time to go out in the rain, in the cold? The worse the weather, the better the fishing?
No, not in the wintertime. The rain isn't going to kill it, but it's not going to help it like it does in the summertime or in the warmer months.
Why does it help it in
usually,
the summer?
Well, a lot of it is, it, especially on the clearer bodies of water, it breaks up that surface just like a little wind would, so they can't get as good a look at your bait.
Oh,
you know,
gotcha.
If you're fishing with artificial bait, you know, and that helps. You know, you're going to want to switch from a slower, say a Texas rig or a jig or something. Then you can get away with covering more water with a bigger, flashier, faster moving bait, crankbait, spinnerbait, Alabama rig, because they're not going to get that good of a look at it, you know. So that's why the rain helps.
So why do people think they can't fish in the cold weather? Like, is it different enough that people who have success, just, you know, like just people who fish for a hobby and maybe only get out a handful of times a year and kind of just have their one style that they know, and it gets cold, and then that one style doesn't work anymore, so they just assume that the fish aren't biting. Is there, like, why do people have this idea that you can't go fishing in the cold weather?
I would say it's probably a variety of reasons. One of them is probably they just, if they're not hardcore fishermen, they probably just don't want to be out in it, for starters, and they've just never had a good day doing it, you know? I mean, we all know you don't catch them every time you go. I mean, even the best don't catch them every time they go. So if you've only went when it's raining twice and both times you didn't catch it, well, what's the chances you want to go the third and fourth time?
Sure.
But if the first time you did it and you smashed them, well, you'd be like, hey, it's raining, let's go fishing. You know, so I think that's part of it. I'll tell you, one of the best days I've ever had at Lake of the Ozarks was like a weird late October snow on a buzzbait, just because that cold front's coming through. The water's still not that cold, and it's just, I mean, just the pressure changed so quickly, and all of a sudden it's snowing, and they just went wild.
Huh.
You know, they sense that cold coming, and they want to feed up.
Yeah, I would never think to fish topwater when it's snowing outside. That's amazing.
Well, anybody that fishes Lake of the Ozarks will tell you, man, if the water's still above, like, 50 degrees and it starts snowing, you pick up that buzzbait or sort of topwater.
I got a tournament question for you, Mike. I got a tournament question for you. Are you able to? I mean, you're obviously able to pick your team members, but is it a process like a draft? Like, are you do you go out and, you know, try working, you know, fishing with some guy or some girl even, just the personality clashes? Does that ever play a part in your decision on who you're going to pick? Because you've never picked me to go on a fishing tournament.
Well, it can. I mean, most of the time you build a relationship with somebody. And that's who you use in a team situation.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever faked being sick because the guy was obnoxious? Have you ever faked being sick because the person was obnoxious?
I've never. I'm a better judge of character than that. I don't take those.
Have you ever gone fishing on a tournament with two people and only came back with one? How about that?
Not that I can say on the radio for sure.
Oh boy,
yeah, Mike, you guys just had the sheriff on. He's probably going to listen.
Right.
Yeah.
Mike, do you prefer the team format? Do you prefer having a partner out there, or do you prefer the solo tournaments?
I prefer the solo tournaments, and it's not because I don't love my team partner, Greg. It's just because I can make a decision and go do it. And if it doesn't work out, I don't feel guilty.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Cause it was my decision. A lot of times it turns out, sometimes it doesn't work out. And I've told you many times, my style's grinding. I mean, a lot of people don't, I know I'm fishing for five bites a lot, you know, and sometimes we're not getting, we'll go an hour or two without a bite, and you'll feel bad for the other guy and want to move, you know, or he'll put it in your head that we need to move. And sometimes in the back of my mind, I feel like, no, we're around the fish. It's a timing thing, you know, and I'm stubborn. I'm going to catch them. I know they're here. I'm looking at them on my electronics, and you know, it's just like both. You can create conflicts. I don't want to get in a conflict with a good friend of mine that I'm a team partner. If he says he thinks we need to move, I'm not going to argue more than likely. When I'm solo, that takes all that out of the equation.
Has that ever happened? Else. What's the worst argument you've ever been in a tournament situation where you and your partner are having a disagreement? Has it ever happened where you guys really have like a strong disagreement on either time to move or where to go or whatever?
Not really. Me and Greg have always, he's pretty relaxed and so am I. And
right, well, we do need to send Bo out with you.
We've never had that issue.
We'll have Bo create a conflict.
Yeah, I think Bo would be good at creating conflict with people, that's for sure, if he wanted to get in there and stir the pot. But no, I mean, if I did have one of those, I just move on. I don't want that. Or just quit fishing team things. But no, me and Greg,
right.
I mean, mm-hmm. we're both very similar, and we both have jobs. You know, he called me the profession, but we both have jobs, and it ain't worth a friendship over winning a few thousand dollars or something.
Right.
If he thinks we need to move, we may discuss it. But I am not getting to the point of screw you, you're wrong, because there is no right or wrong in this fishing. I could be 100% my gut's telling me one thing, but it could be 100% wrong, and Greg could be right. So why not just say, okay, let's go, let's move, let's try deeper, let's go shout, whatever the case may be. So
I think I know the answer.
He may be right. He's got experience too,
I think so. I know the answer to this, but no matter who's got more experience or have been more successful fishing, I imagine the ultimate decision maker in the boat is the person that owns the boat. Is that correct? Is the captain always the guy who owns the boat?
That's pretty correct.
Wow, good question.
Not always, but I mean, I could be owning the boat, but if my team partner that day happened to be Kevin Van Dam and he's making a suggestion, I'm a moron if I don't listen to him, right? I'm a horrible captain.
That would be great to tell KVD that you don't think his hunch is right.
Yeah. Hey, Rick Klun, you've won 4 classics and you've been doing this for 55 years. Shut your pie hole. I know what I'm doing. That's not exactly how you don't learn anything in fishing, if you don't listen to other people. I mean, I think that goes fishing, hunting, drywall. You don't come into the first day as a drywaller and tell the guy that's been doing it 30 years. He's not, when he gives you a suggestion, you might want to listen.
Yeah.
He probably knows what he's talking about.
Yeah. Go ahead, Bo.
So.
God gave you 2 ears and 1 mouth, right? Listen twice as much as you talk. That's my mantra for Tony anyway.
If you're always supposed to watch your mouth, I doubt God would put your eyes above it, right? So.
Wow.
That's a good one.
All this wisdom.
Drive-by trucker song lyrics. I'm not original. It's a drive-by trucker song.
So you're going to be doing a tournament. The next one, where's that at? Is that the lake?
Lake of the Ozarks Saturday, and it's that used to be called the Turkey Day Bash, but now it's the Marie Terrell Stink. I can't ever pronounce her last name, but the gal from Anguish in Action.
Oh, okay.
Who,
yeah.
Was in the boating accident.
Yeah.
It's in her memory. So it's going to be a big turnout, and they're having a silent auction and all sorts of things to benefit her daughter. So
how long does tournament season last? Is this your last one for the year?
This is my last one. And this is kind of an open jackpot jump in. It's a really cool format. They pay out the 25 biggest bass on one side and the 25 heaviest 5 bass limits on the other side. So you don't have to have, you could cash a couple checks on the big bass side. You could cash, if you cash a check, on the one side, you're probably going to have a check on the other side too, more than likely. So it's just a kind of a cool format. You still have a chance of making some money, even if you only catch one fish, if it's the right fish. So, or the right couple fish, because they pay 25 big bass places on one side and then 25 is heaviest bags.
Is this generally the last weekend for tournaments, just in general across the state, or do they keep going all winter long?
No. There's a winter series down there. Bass and Bob puts on a winter series.
Wow.
They fish, it may get canceled or changed if the weather turns bad and the ramps get icy or something, but no, but Bass and Bob has tournaments January, February, so I think December.
I love those because we have a fire.
He has a fire and breakfast, and we don't take off till like 9, let the sun get up and get a little bit warmer. So it's pretty mellow. Everybody sits around, eats a big breakfast, and has some coffee, and then we all go. So
some go back to bed.
And lunch. But this particular tournament will be some sticks in there, because a lot of the big time touring guys are home for the holidays that live in the Ozarks area, and you'll have some real sticks and hammers in this thing that come off the professional tour. So,
well, I do have a question.
It's a tough one to win.
Mike, am I talking to Aaron?
Go ahead, Bo.
I just wanted to ask, okay, and I'm glad you brought it up. It's the pandemic 2020, right? A lot of people, right. I believe, like first-time gun owners, we got a lot of first-time fisher people, fishermen and women out mm-hmm. there. Christmas shopping, what do you suggest if you know of somebody that's on your Christmas list that maybe just started fishing this year for the first time? Any ideas on what to get them as a gift? Would it be the scale so you can weigh your fish? Anything like that? You know I'm shopping here. I'm shopping.
I'm telling you what, that's a great question, and it depends on what species they're going after and all that. So I think the best move would be a tackle warehouse or Bass Pro Shops or Bluff City.
Outdoors,
you don't wrap that.
You don't like the gift card idea?
You can't go wrong. Buy them a Whopper Plopper and then attach the gift card to that.
Booyah! So. There you go.
I'm serious. I mean, it's a personal. I mean, if they're just getting started, maybe they don't know. And if you're a big time radio guy like Bo and you can afford it, buy him a trip with a guy down at Table Rock or Lake of the Ozarks.
You know, now that's what I'm talking
what
about.
What about? Though that's a good one. I was going to say
then you can go with them, Bo. Because it usually takes two people, so you know they're going to guy trips two people, so you get to go with them that way.
So a lot of people I know also are, you know, they know that their friend or family member is a fisherman that they love to fish, but they don't know. You know, they don't know the ins and outs or the details. Is there anything that's just sort of a you can never have enough of this, or there's always, there you know, somebody, a fisherman always needs this thing.
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah, like, absolutely. Tackle box.
Yeah.
Just the individual Plano's 3,700 boxes. Mm-hmm. I've got like seven or eight of them that are just always empty on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So when I go to fish a team tournament out of somebody else's boat, I don't have to bring 300 pounds of tackle. I can put all my favorite baits into that one tackle box. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I can take them out of my boat and put them into four boxes, and then I just got to bring those four little boxes with me, and I don't have a bunch of crap.
Absolutely. That's a great idea.
Another good thing is those rod sleeves. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, Tony. Uh-huh. They look like the old school Chinese handcuff that slides down. And,
yep.
I mean, a lot of people, if you're going to go with somebody, having those on your rod so they don't get all tangled up and banged up is great. That's a great all-around gift. Can't ever have too many of those.
Yeah.
So, but line and stuff like that, most fishermen are pretty picky.
Yeah.
And you could buy them a spool of line that'll never get used.
Right.
It might get used
right.
for backer or something, but
that's why the question.
We all have our favorites and stuff like that. But
right.
Can't go wrong with tackle boxes.
Great idea.
You know.
So we're almost out of time here. But I wanted to. So we never got a chance to get out on the water with Chad, and this is his
road trip to Arizona.
His last day. Late yeah.
Me, here we come.
So we need to decide right now if we're going to all go to Arizona and fish with Chad at his new place, or if we're going to fly him back soon and go out on the water here in St. Louis. What do you guys all?
Not no soon.
Chad, I'm getting away from the cold, not going back to it.
I told my mom before I knew like my date that I was going to move and stuff, uh-huh. She was like, we got to get ready for the winter. I said, no, I don't. I'm going to be gone way before that starts. And then sure enough, I'm leaving.
Mike, what do you know about fishing in the southern states where that don't get the winters like we do? I know like Florida is obviously famous for great bass fishing, and you can do it all year long, even you know at a higher level because the water never freezes. You know, you never even have that miniature off season.
Yeah, the same goes for Mississippi, Alabama, all those lakes down there. Plus, they're you know a lot of them in the Tennessee River, they got current in them, so they're not going to freeze.
Right.
And it doesn't get quite as cold as here. I mean, Table Rock's a great, you know, it gets cold down there too, but for the most part, it's deep and clear and, you know, it doesn't freeze, so you can fish there year round. But Southern Lakes, the problem with it is if you're taking your boat, is it can be tricky getting there because pulling a boat in the snow is not fun.
Right. So, Chad.
Or ice. It's not fun.
Visualize this. You've just moved into your new place. You're just getting settled in. You're starting to meet your neighbors. You're trying to, you know, put out a good, you know, make a good impression on the neighborhood. And about the fourth weekend that you're in Arizona, here comes a pickup truck. And it's me, Bo, and Mike. And Bo is sitting in he's not in the truck. He's in the boat, in the back, as we pull up.
with a bunch of empty bush cans in the bottom of the boat. Been drinking all the way to Arizona.
And we just start.
Yeah, explain
and
that.
And we just start hollering, Jed, we're here.
Teach a man to fish.
Yeah, take us to the lake. What do you think? Sound like a good idea?
I don't think
you'll be divorced before you're engaged.
I don't think it's a bad idea. It would be kind of embarrassing, but you know, from my apartment, I can actually like see the street and like see. So I would be like,
"Perfect!
Oh crap!
Here they come!
This is happening!" And then I'll just come out and we'll make a day of it.
Well, you need to find the closest lake when you get down there, and find our spot, and we'll plan a trip.
Cool.
That would be awesome.
That would be awesome.
Seriously, on Allegiant, it's like $24 to fly to Phoenix.
I'm not flying. Mike and I are getting in the truck and we're taking the boat down.
I'll meet you there.
That's probably.
We could probably fish a couple places along the way, Tony. I'm sure.
There you go. Amen. Yeah. Amen. So, Mike, as we wrap this thing up, tell people how they can follow you. I know you're a big YouTube star these days. There with the 10 Horse doing the live
Monty
streams
is where
and all
you
that.
Can find most of me. 10 Horse Monty and the Monday Night Live stream. Monday Night Live. Go check those guys out, man. They got some great content. And here's what's cool. They're flirting with having – there's two or three guests that they've had on multiple times. And last Monday night, they were talking about having myself and a couple of those other guests on all at the same time and just pull the string and all of us start going. So hopefully that happens. I think that'd be a great episode.
Heck yeah.
Couple other guys that are touring pros or, you know, used to tour and now – you know, I've kind of come home and just fish locally. So
I'll tell you what, it's great conversation and it's just a great thing to listen to. I've done it when, you know, I'll be at home on the weekends, unable to get outside and go fishing myself, but I'll pull up one of your live streams there, one of your YouTube uploads on 10 Horse's channel. And you know, as you're doing your yard work or maybe hanging Christmas lights or anything like that, just to hear this great conversation about fishing is fantastic.
And
so
tactics-wise, get on the 10 Horse. Like, he's got one recently on fall fishing. He's got one on the Alabama rig. He's actually showing you how he finds them on his graph and then is throwing at them with the Alabama rig. Yeah, he has great content on his channel. And the Monday Night Live stuff is great, too.
That's awesome.
They do a bang-up job. They really do, and they're getting better all the time, more and more followers. And the thing about the Monday Night Live stream that's so cool is you get a type-in question. You get to ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
You
know? I've done it.
So the audience steers the ship, so to speak. So,
and that's 10 Horse Monty, T-I-N, 10 Horse Monty on YouTube. That's the best way to find it?
Yep.
Good stuff.
Yep. Or on Facebook, you can find them either place.
Great stuff.
But
great stuff.
The Facebook will take you, you know, Facebook will take you to his YouTube videos, but yeah.
All right. Well, Bo, this is it.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, we're wrapping up. We did the last show and now we're wrapping up the very last podcast with Chad. Chad, once again, buddy, thanks for everything you've done for this show. It's been an awesome addition.
You
will be missed tremendously.
Absolutely.
All right. That's going to do it for this week's edition of the podcast exclusive. We'll be back next week with our new producer, Carl Middleman. So make sure you are checking us out. Download our podcast 2 a week on the radio.com app. For producer Chad Ellis, one more time, and my partner, Bo Matthews, and a big thank you to Mike Marfell. Thanks for listening to Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors.
Get more at 971talk.com.